Hi, Wales. Welcome back to Bound Together podcast. This is episode 2. Today we have a very special episode for all you young people that are looking for, you know, relationship advice. Here I have two amazing couples that I look up to every day. I have my co-host Andre and his girlfriend Anita, and then I have one of the elders of our church, Wensi, and his wife Pri. So before we start, let's just say hi. Obviously you guys can say hi to the camera if you guys want.
Hi, everybody.
Hello everyone.
And then let's start with, you know, introduction stories. You know, how did you guys meet, and how long have you guys been together? We'll start with you guys since you guys are married.
Sure. Well, we met during a salsa class, and it's, you know, it could be a little taboo. Oh my God, they met dancing. But it's, let me tell you a little backstory about it. I was at that time, I was recently divorced, and I was with that person for almost 10 years. And so when you get to know someone for almost a decade, you know, they become a part of your life, and you kind of identify with them. And so when I went through that, you know, I went through therapy, I read a lot of books, I did a lot of research, you know, because I wanted to know what, you know, wanted to be successful. And through that process, what I did is I created a bucket list of things I wanted to do for my life. And one of the things, you know, the small hanging fruit, I said, I just want to take a class, just for the heck of it, you know. And it turned out that salsa, taking the class, kind of that structure and everything around taking a class, a dancing class, it was like therapy for me. And so it really helped me a lot. And I ended up kind of going through different classes, different levels, and ended up leveling up through the classes, and I ended up getting to her level. And we ended up meeting, talking, and then it was like 2 or 3 months into it that we started kind of really talking to each other, getting to know each other, and then we ended up asking her out. Mm-hmm. We dated, became boyfriend and girlfriends for about a year and a half. And then after that, we were engaged for 6 months, and now we've been married for 4 years, this June. So.
And did you do anything romantic to ask the question? How did you pop the question?
Oh, for the
engagement? He honored my my desire, because I'm an introvert.
Okay.
So I always was like, do not put me, like, do not go to a very public place. Do not do something. Like, and I'm like, don't do it at a restaurant, because it's going to be like,
right,
everybody's going to be
scene.
Like, ah!
Yeah, right.
And he ended up doing that at a restaurant. But what he did is that he rented an igloo. So it was our own private igloo. And
so it's kind of like what they do at the Mercantile, kind of.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. We had an igloo.
Oh, nice, nice.
So it was just the two of us inside of the igloo in the winter, and he popped the question in there. So it was public, but not public.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and it was
best of both worlds. Nice.
It was very nice. Funny story. I was surprised. So when I saw that, when I kind of started seeing that things were gonna happen, I was like, no. He's like, no, yeah. I'm like, no. And it was a nice, memorable.
Aww.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Do you want me to start, or
you
want to start?
Yeah,
you
should.
Yeah, definitely, because I think it was two different experiences for the same event. But first of all, it took forever. And yes. I think we can all have a consensus between everybody here that it was a while, but I think it makes it special to me, at least, for it to be so, take the time that we took so that it can mean something. And I try to be as memorable with everything in every single step. But we met when you literally walked into church, and I was the teacher, and we have different experiences because it was two different viewpoints, but I think that was the very beginning of everything, and we didn't really think of anything at all, but then it developed into something completely different. And the funny thing is, when I first started talking to you, I was literally in my lowest point in my life, and you just appear out of nowhere. Well, not out of nowhere, but it seemed like it, because I wasn't expecting it, or I wasn't looking for a partner at the time. And I remember Wensie was really adamant, and he kept calling me. He's like, dude, did you want to ask her yet? Like, have you asked her out yet? Come on, dude, she's ready. Just ask her out. Just ask her out. And I remember saying, dude, that's literally the last thing in my head right now. Like, literally, I'm going through some really tough situations, and I was literally sick, and I was, like, so worried. I was like, dude, a girlfriend is the last thing in my head right now. I don't even know what's going to happen to me a year from now. So I want to focus and be able to make it through this tough situation. And then eventually it happened. And then we didn't really, and again, when I say it took forever, we started going out, just hanging out here and there. But officially, I didn't ask her out until the first date, until 2 months after we started talking. We went to a Celtics game. And it was pretty fun. And then you want to pick up where I left off of what happened in the first date?
Well, no, in the first date, I remember that I was waiting for a kiss. I hit it forever, and I gave like some hints, but he was like, no, no, no. So I was like, this guy is not going to give me a kiss. So at the end, I just gave him a kiss. And
I was respectful.
Yes, yes. Well, it was really nice.
I think both you and Wensie said something that kind of shocked me a little bit, where you kind of both unexpected. It came unexpectedly, I'll say. Like, obviously, you had your list, and, you know, you just wanted to take a salsa class. It's not like you were expecting to meet Pri.
Yeah.
And, you know, you were going through the rough times in your life, and it's not like you were expecting me, Anita. How do you guys, you know, give advice to someone that, you know, maybe going through a hard time and may be thinking, oh, like, I want to rush it, you know, whereas, like, they should take their time with it?
I can start, I think, but I learned in my young 29 years, well, I was 25 when I was learning this whole process, but I think the thing that I learned the most when I was going through the hardest part of my life was understanding that you should not force anything. I think with God, the way that God makes things, it makes it, like, this is why I always say he has a sense of humor, because literally when you stop forcing things and you let things happen naturally, he blesses beyond anything that you can ask for. And unlike Anita, I never made a checklist. I never asked for God, and I never asked, I want somebody with this, 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 and that. And I always say, I didn't even ask for it. And now that I can think of all the stuff that I absolutely need and want, Anita has everything plus some. Like, it's like the cherry on top with a whole bunch of stuff that I could have ever asked for. And I wasn't even trying. It's when I stopped trying in life to force things, God just handed something to me. I was like, here, everything that you ever wanted, this is even better than you expected. And you weren't even looking for it. So that was my experience.
Yeah, and for me, I mean, when I was going to the classes, I wasn't looking for anyone. I was just recently, again, I kind of went through a divorce and kind of explained myself earlier. So for me, I was just working on myself, you know, focus on having a relationship with God and asking him what he wanted for me. A lot of times it's, God, I want this. God, I want this. God, God, God. And it's you asking all this stuff from God. And I was just having a conversation with him about, hey, you know, God, what do you want from me? You know, what do you want? And he lined everything up. And here we are. So
And I think not losing hope is kind of the biggest thing that, you know, someone like, let's just say, for example, my age, you know, they could fail or, you know, give up on, you know, trying to get a relationship or fall into fleshly desires instead of, you know, a godly relationship because they want something right away. Like, how do you recognize the difference between, you know, a godly relationship and what your flesh is desiring?
That's a very good question. One of the things you really got to look at is you have to have a relationship with God.
Yeah.
Most importantly, you know, before you jump into a relationship and try and connect with someone else, is you need to have a really strong, not just know God, but like a walking, talking relationship with God. And a lot of times, even having that walking, talking relationship, a lot of times, you know, our own egos can get in the way and we can do a lot of things to fumble that relationship with God. And that's just us too, you know? And now you throw another person into the mix, it can get very complicated. But I think ideally, if you have a strong relationship with God and your partner has a strong relationship with God, it's going to help you immensely to overcome a lot of struggles, a lot of problems, or, you know, a lot of that potential, you know, getting into premarital sex and a bunch of things, you know. But I think if your foundation of your relationship is with God and the same with your partner, and you bring both to and bring God into the relationship, it makes a huge difference.
I know this is a question for men, but I'm going to add something.
No, this is a question for anyone.
And we were having this conversation with somebody yesterday, and I think in order to be in a relationship, you have to, and to get to know yourself first.
Mm-hmm.
And really know where you're standing with God and understand that God's your priority and understand what God needs to you. And not until then, that I think that's when you are really ready to be sharing your life with somebody else. Now, how do I bring that to your question? And it's like is it the desire versus the godly
right.
relationship that you want? It's to the point, it's like, well, what is one or the other going to give you? I think like the desire, the flesh is going to give you instant gratification, but it's not going to get you what you want.
Right.
So it's making sure that you make that balance of, okay, what is this going to give me long term? And what does this give me to what God wants to do with me?
Right.
And I always go back to, every time that we've talked about this topic, I always go back to that. And it's like, get to know yourself first and get to know God and what God wants from you first, before anything else, like for anything, especially for a relationship.
I don't know if you have anything to say. I just wanted to mention a little bit about this, because the way that you ask is really interesting, because I remember, like Wensi, I had a previous relationship that was literally almost 11 years. It was a little bit over 10. And it's when you ask, how do you know which one's the difference between which? That's where I can tell you, if it doesn't lead you to God and it doesn't lead you to become a better Christian and a better man and a better individual, that's how you know if it's a worldly or something that's the desire of the flesh compared to somebody that's with God. Like, for example, I tell this to Anita, I remember struggling 10 years by myself where I wanted to serve in the church. I wanted to be part of the community. I wanted to have a role where I was active, but it's super, super difficult to do it alone. And not only do it alone, but somebody that's going to constantly ask you, hey, let's not do this and let's go out to the movies instead. Or why do you have to go to church every Friday? Why do you have to go to church on Saturdays? Why do you volunteer your only time on Sundays with the Pathfinders? So like they start to question you and they drag you down. So then I got so used to it where I was fighting by myself for 10 plus years, where I was literally still trying to be an active member, but it was difficult. Like I couldn't do that. And then on top of that, with Anita, like having her next to me in church, like I don't take that for granted. Like having the ability to have your partner next to you when you worship is the best feeling to me. Like I've never had to experience that before my entire life. And
now that I have it, I'm like, it's night and day. Like, this is exactly what God wants for you when you're looking for a partner. It has to be easy. It has to be natural. There shouldn't be any resistance. And when you start to feel that, when you see the difference between having to battle somebody that doesn't want to worship with you, that doesn't believe the same beliefs as you, that's the whole example in the Bible when it talks about the yoke. Mm-hmm. When you pair two animals that are unevenly matched, and I'm not just talking about, it can be somebody that shares the same religion as you or the same certain beliefs, but if your core is not the same and you're not pulling towards the same direction, it's really difficult to go in the same direction and do the same stuff, because you're not, one could be pulling in this direction and one could be pulling in this direction. It makes it extremely difficult to be in a relationship that you're happy. And the yoke in the Bible, it's God. God is the yoke that bounds the two animals together. So if you don't have the center being Christ, being God, and you're not pulling in the same direction, you're literally headed to failure. And I can tell you that I spent 10 whole years that led to failure. And not because she was a bad person or because she was a terrible individual that had all these stuff. It's more like we literally just night and day. And if I say blue, she says red. If I say this, she says the opposite. And guess what? That's meant to fail. But now I can see it where I have a godly relationship. And I tell Anita, like, every single day, God has to be the center. Whenever we fight, what is the first thing I tell you?
Pray.
If you stop yourself and you pray and you put God as the center, no matter what your angering issue is, or if I'm really, really upset with her, mm-hmm. and maybe my feelings are getting in the way, mm-hmm. she has to take charge and ground me by saying, hey, let's pray. And if the opposite happens, I need to be the grounding thing for her. And God has to be that grounding rod that leads you to have that center, which is God.
And I think we're tackling the main question right now, which is the true foundation of a godly relationship. And I think you obviously said it the most, is obviously you want to be God-centered. Is there anything else you guys want to add?
I think we both kind of covered, mm-hmm. you know, God needs to be the center, you know. And, you know, like for Pri and I, you know, we've kind of made that a point. And, you know, as our relationship continues to, you know, grow and evolve, one of the things that we kind of unofficially, but kind of created like a little motto or creed for ourselves. And for us, we always say, trust and obey. In the good, the bad, the beautiful, the ugly, the whatever happens, mm-hmm. just trust and obey God. And He will always, you know, make things work. And that's one thing that we've always kind of clung on to. And we just always trust and obey God.
I think the most important thing is what you guys do too, is obviously pray, especially through the hard times. I feel like obviously in a relationship, it's so easy to nitpick at each other. Where I think you told me this like a couple of weeks ago, that at this point you guys, if you see that Anita's mad at you or you're mad at Anita, you guys just stop at each other and just say, let's pray. You know, that's, mm-hmm. you know, that's, I think that's,
it's powerful.
Yeah, it's healthy. It's healthy.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, I just want to tell them that it's not easy.
Oh, no.
Especially when you're hungry. Like, you really don't want to pray.
Right.
Like, yeah. you just want to shut up. I don't want to talk with you. I don't want to say anything. But I just want to express, like, it's not easy when you are, like, in these moments to say, let me just sit down and pray, or... It's difficult, so I don't want to tell them, like, it's easy. No, mm-hmm. it is not. But if you have that relationship with God, and you pray, and you have that communication with your partner, it will help you. Like you can picture yourself in this big problem, where when you put everything in God's hands, everything is, like, smooth, and you can feel that His presence is different.
Well, for sure, because mm-hmm. obviously when you're angry, you act irrational, and, you know, sometimes you might say the wrong things. So, obviously, it's
that's
not...
That's a difficult
yeah,
part to
it's, it. That's why, obviously, it's not easy on anyone. But I think that's part of the next question is, what kind of challenges do you face every day, you know, in a godly relationship?
I will start with my character. I can't speak for everybody here, but I think my character, and I think that's biblical, like from my research in the Bible, biblically speaking, the thing that we need to master is our character. We're going to make it to heaven with everything being different. We're going to be perfect in every single form with the exception of your character. And if you do not master your character here on earth, so the time that you have here on earth, then you simply can't make it to heaven. So I think part of being in a relationship, I always compare it to something that's a luxury versus a necessity. I don't need to have a car. For example, I have a Tesla. And I'm not trying to show off by any means, but I'm just giving you an example. I really enjoy having my car. But is it a necessity? No. It's literally a luxury because I always joke around. I love technology. And that's fine. But is it a necessity? No. I understand it's a luxury. Having a relationship, having a girlfriend, having a wife, having a boyfriend or a husband, it's not a necessity. You don't necessarily need it to live. You can still live your entire life and it will be okay. But it's a luxury in the sense that you really, really, really want to have it. And in order to have it, you need to make it work. And going back to what I'm saying about my car, I don't need my car. It's a luxury. But I need to make sure that I can afford the luxury that I have. And I need to be able to maintain it and make sure that it works properly and that it happens. That's the same thing with a relationship. I need to constantly work at it. But if I do not have the funds for a relationship, meaning I don't have a character that's good enough for me to withstand it. Like, for example, if I don't work on my anger issues, for example. And I always say I have anger issues, but in reality, I've gotten so far with the process of polishing my anger issues that I don't think it's an anger issue anymore. I catch myself and I have to make sure that, like right when we were talking about, like I have to make sure when I'm talking to you, I'm not going to talk with anger. And God literally shows us through Jesus that we should have the character of Jesus, who is slow to anger, who's full of love, who is patient. So literally you have a Bible text that literally tells you the character of Jesus. And that's what I pray for every single day. I want to be able to afford the luxury of having a future wife. And in order for me to obtain the future wife, I need to make sure that I can afford the luxury of having her be happy. If she's not happy with me, we're going to fail. And if she doesn't do the same thing and work on her character to make sure that we don't rub each other the wrong way, because literally once, right now we're in the boyfriend-girlfriend stage where it's easy. If I'm really pissed at her and I'm completely done with her for the day, I go home. I don't have to see her for a couple hours. I can sleep it off. And tomorrow's another day, and maybe if I'm still so mad, I don't have to see her. But once you're married, and this is when I open up to you guys, so you don't have that luxury, and you can't get to that point until you work on your character where it's like, hey, you need to work on yourself or else it's not going to work. And God is the only thing that's going to polish your character.
Yeah. And Andrea mentioned that, you know, he said his character, you know, in my head, what comes to mind is your ego. You know, it's, you know, that could be a challenge in itself, just wrestling with two egos, just trying to, you know, manage a situation or manage a household. It's very challenging. One of the things that I, you know, always talk to my wife and, you know, and we needed to focus on for our relationship, and one of the challenges at first was, you know, it's learning that our language change. And I don't mean like Spanish or English, or it's understanding that, you know, it's not I anymore. It's we. It's not mine. It's ours.
You become, you know, French.
Yes, you become we. French. We, you know, you learn, at first you learn a new language. And then with time it becomes second nature. You didn't even think about it. It just, you know, you start using those terms. And occasionally you need some reminders. Man, one of the challenges too is that each person, you know, has a totally different upbringing, a totally different background, totally different way of thinking,
culture.
You know, totally different culture. And now all these two things are trying to become one, and that becomes very challenging. One of the other challenges that couples face is it's uncommunicated expectations. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of times you have these thoughts, these ideas, these pictures in your head of what you want from your partner, and times you hold that partner accountable to those unspoken expectations, and that can at times become challenging, especially to the person that doesn't know, you know. So so to effectively combat that and fix that is you have to talk about it, you know, just put them out there. And problems will not get solved on their own, and they will never ever go away on their own. The only way unresolved problems will only get bigger and bigger. And so the way to combat it is by talking about them. The more you talk about them, the smaller and smaller they get until, you know, they're gone.
Well, I was thinking is obviously, so you said ego, and then you said personality.
Yeah. Well, your
character.
Yes.
I feel like, obviously, I'm not on this ship, but I feel like the enemy, as in the devil, could obviously be a challenge in, you know, relationships.
Mm-hmm. Don't leave space for the devil in your relationship. Ideally, what you need to understand is that so the way that was explained is having a cup. You can't fill a cup that's already full. There's no space. And God wants an empty cup. And your relationship should be that empty vessel. So in order for you to literally not have room for the devil, literally has to be filled to the brim with God. And if you have God there, there's no room for Satan. And Satan's going to try to target you individually with what hurts you the most. Yeah. To point out your ego and have him touch that sensitive part in your life. And sadly, we all come to a relationship with baggage. So my issues from the past, I carry with me. And I remember having this pastor who was talking about the sermon, talking about picking up rocks. What it is it's a long life. We have this backpack or this luggage. And in each situation in life, we pass by and we pick up a rock and we put it in our back. It gets to a point where you pick up so many rocks that it's just too heavy to bear by yourself. And then you enter into a relationship, and then I have baggage, and now she has baggage, and then now I don't know what her baggage is, and vice versa, and then I can say something that is going to set off that baggage. And then when you start to not communicate, and like what Wensie said, it's like you end up literally, you need to learn how to let go of that and start fresh. Have that empty vessel be completely empty. Empty out that cup or empty out that bag. Let go of those rocks and let God take the bag for you. And God literally, that's all he asks for. When he tells you, come to me. And I'm not talking about just relationship, in life in general. All he wants is for you to go to him and say, hey, God, the burden is too heavy. Can you take it for me? And once you have God be the center, there is no room for Satan. Satan literally cannot enter it. But the minute that you exit from that safe space, Satan's going to get you. So that's the tough part about in life and in any relationship, is having that, it's that balance between keeping in your safe little space with God and emptying out everything and saying, God, take it, because I can't take it anymore. This is too heavy for me.
And I think that's kind of an introduction to the last and final question is, how can someone single prepare themselves spiritually before entering a relationship? You know, especially, like you said, we all have baggage. We all have stuff that we carry. How do you let go of that and go into a relationship?
Yeah, I think Andrea kind of mentioned it earlier. You got to pray a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Pray, and I also mentioned it earlier, is you know, you got to stay connected in a walking, talking relationship with God. Another thing is, before you ask God, you know, what you want in another man or a woman, you have to ask God, what does God want out of you? And you got to prepare yourself and be the person that God wants you to be. Because if you're not that person, you jump into a relationship, God is still transforming you and changing you.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that change or transformation won't last that relationship. So really focus on being who God wants you to be first. And Andrea mentioned not creating a checklist. I always say create a checklist of, you know, what you want in that other person. I think that's important. I think it's important for you to know and be aware of what to look for. And I always say, you know, be content with 80% of what that person, you know, can check off on your checklist. Because there's no person that will check off 100%.
Anita did.
He's at 90.
Yeah.
But yeah, so it's like,
if God feels the rest.
Yeah. So, you know, be content, you know, out of your checklist. Know what are the things that, you know, are not negotiable. That you're never going to find the person that has 100%. And when you try to look for that person that checks off every single box, you're going to spend the rest of your whole life looking, and you're going to end up by yourself.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's no perfect person out there.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you're not perfect either. So you can't expect perfection out of the other person when you're not.
Exactly.
I think what they said our part, it's the most important. It's your relationship with God and knowing what God wants from you. A lot of talking. When you are meeting somebody, you need to really get to know them. And I think when you have that excitement of it's somebody new, like I feel the butterflies and oh wow. And I remember always telling Anita, you kind of feel it. Like when you find that person, you kind of like something inside of you kind of clicks, and it's probably the Holy Spirit. I don't know. But really talk a lot and don't let the excitement rush you into
right.
other things.
Mm-hmm.
Talk a lot. Get to really know that person and ask questions, because if you get into a relationship without asking those questions, without really getting to know that person, that's when you're setting yourself for heartbreak, for tough times, for losing your liberties, for not doing what you're supposed to be doing. So really get to know somebody and feel comfortable answering questions, because it, like the same way that you ask questions, you're going to be asked questions
right.
that you probably don't
mm-hmm.
have the answers for.
And it's uncomfortable.
and it's uncomfortable, and it requires vulnerable, like being vulnerable. So but talk a lot and get comfortable asking questions and answering those questions, because that will give you a better idea of, oh, will this really work out? Is this really what God wants for me? Is this what I am supposed to be?
No, I was just going to add that when you are asking those questions, you can see the red flags too, because that's another important
yeah.
thing. Like sometimes we are so like feeling those butterflies that you were saying, like, oh, he's so cute or she's so cute and those things. And then you avoid or you don't see those red flags.
Mm-hmm.
And they are against your checklist. So that is important. Like, yes, you can feel all these feelings, beautiful feelings.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it is important to see those red flags, because if you see one or two, it's not there. And I think that it's also the way that God tells you, hey, this is not the person that I have for you. Like, you need to keep working and you need to keep be by my side so I can guide you in what I have prepared for you. So it is important to see those things too.
Yeah, because you don't want to, again, and I really, really reinforce and not forcing things. Everything comes natural, and that's how it should be. And when you surrender yourself to God, and you have that freeing moment when you surrender yourself to God, he makes it clear that everything becomes doors wide open. Like with sometimes, again, going back to what I was saying about my previous relationship, I wasted 10 years. Well, I shouldn't say waste, because it was the tuition that I had to pay for me to learn. And I always compare it to the Israelites and how they have a desert. We all have to have a desert in our lives, meaning we need to go through certain things in our life. And the longer it takes us to learn that we need to learn in that situation, we're going to be stuck there. God is going to literally be so merciful. And I say merciful because that's literally what it is. He's having mercy on you for you to understand what you need to understand. Once you learn that, he will get you out. And then you're going to realize when you are with God and you surrender yourself to God, everything comes natural. You do not need to force absolutely anything. And going back to what I was talking about, when I was literally sick, so literally I had internal bleeding, and I went to the doctors and I had all these tests done and procedures done. And I remember the lapse, that 1 week period when I had already gotten my test, now I'm just waiting for me to get the results. I remember going up to Mount Wachusett, and I remember climbing up slowly, ugly crying, and just bawling my eyes out, because I felt like I'm going to die. But it was not that I was going to die. So the diagnosis was literally I have anxiety and stress to the point where literally my body was starting to shut down. And it was because I was so much forcing everything. And I don't know if you've ever seen the video of the person that is teaching kids how to put shapes into the bucket.
Yeah.
And then everything says, it's like, oh, what is this? Like, he would put the star in the square peg, or the circle in the square peg. Sometimes we literally just do that. We force everything that needs to just let go. And when you start to surrender to God, that's exactly when you learn that everything just becomes so easy. And it's just a freeing moment when you realize that you no longer have to worry about all of the stuff that you're carrying, all the baggage that I mentioned earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And it just kind of becomes easy. And you don't force it anymore. And everything just comes to you naturally. And I agree with what Wesley says, make a checklist. I didn't make a checklist, but that's because like I literally was right at the moment where I had the most faith, where I was like, God, you know what I need. You know what is best for me. I don't need to ask you, because I'm going to ask you for stuff that I'm going to end up regretting. And that's exactly what happened. I chose Anita. I didn't even choose Anita. Let me correct myself.
Yes,
I didn't choose Anita. But God gave me her in my life, and she was everything that I could have asked for and more. And I think you kind of shoot yourself in the foot if you make a checklist, because God has something way better than what you're asking for. You can make a checklist, but just know God is going to say, I don't know what you're talking about. This is what's best for you.
Yeah. And I know you the question was kind of focused on kind of spiritually,
right?
But kind of beyond that, to kind of prepare yourself, obviously you want to read the Bible, but there's a lot of relationship information out there on the web. There's a lot of books. I know when I was kind of preparing myself to have a successful relationship and marriage, I had read a couple books, 5 Love Languages by Gary Chapman. That's an amazing book. Men Are from Mars, Women Are from Venus by Dr. John Gray. Love and Respect by Dr. Emerson Eggerich. And there's a bunch of other books that you guys can read too, that will help and kind of prepare you. Not only spiritually, but also relationally, and in so many aspects, to be kind of get ready for that, to be in a lifelong relationship.
Now, I guess my final question was, what do you guys prioritize in this checklist? At least, what did you prioritize?
Obviously, put God first.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things I looked in praying, and I asked her directly, do you believe in God? If her answer was no, then okay, it's not going anywhere. Her answer was yes. She had, you know, she was in a different walk in regards to where she was in her relationship, but God was, I saw that God was calling her. And one of the amazing things when we were getting to knowing each other was she was going through her spiritual journey. And, you know, you can say I'm a lifetime Christian, Seventh-day Adventist, but she was going through her beginnings of her journey of having a relationship with Jesus. And I remember when she and Anita were going to the Bible classes together, and after the classes, she would come to me and ask me all these questions. And I saw that passion of that desire to get to know God and have a relationship. And to me, that just sparked so much for me. And so I knew that she was, you know, she was a God-fearing woman. And to me, that was one of my top things. There's a bunch of other stuff. Me, I have children, so I also wanted to make sure that, you know, she was okay with, you know, being a stepmom. And because that comes with its own set of challenges. Yeah, she was okay with that. And her and Vianney right now have an amazing relationship. You know, she's a stepmom, and Vianney, she treats Vianney with a lot of love, a lot of respect. And to me, that was very important. And man, this, I mean, I can go on all night talking mm-hmm. about my checklist and how she checked it off. But yeah, to me, those were kind of some crucial things.
And obviously, Anja didn't have a checklist, but do you guys have any parts of that?
Yeah, so for me, it was a little bit different because it was my first time like making a checklist. And actually, it was so funny because at the same time that Prem Wensi helped me, my therapist was the same thing, like, hey, you need to write down what you want. And sometimes you'd be like, why am I gonna write down those things if God already knows? Like, I'm always praying, like, he knows. And I think that it's part of the therapy as well, like knowing yourself and trying to understand, oh, I like this, yes, I like this, so you write down, no, I don't like this. So I'm an engineer, so pretty will understand what I'm trying to say, but it's like an SOP. Like, you just write all the things that you need so everything can be, like, not under control, but, like, in a certain way that it will help you. So that's what I did. Basically, I just started, like, he needs to believe in God. And there's just one thing that he didn't, I didn't check, but it was about his age. Because I was always saying, no, it should be like +5 or +3, never
under.
But it's fine. Then God, it's part of his humor.
At least I wasn't saying, a minor. That's all that matters.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think that it is important. It's important to do
a checklist. But I did a lot of observation. I think that's how I learned. So I think you mentioned it at the beginning. I really observed people and relationships that I admired, and then I saw, oh, that looks like a healthy, godly, loving relationship. Probably that point I wouldn't say, like, use the same wording, mm-hmm. but like I would say, like, these are people that I look up to in terms of how they live their lives. So I observed a lot of their behaviors, and their behaviors towards each other and towards themselves. Mm-hmm. And I think that's how I said, I want to find somebody that I feel that level of respect, trust, ability to be vulnerable. So for me, it was a lot of observation and looking at couples that I admire.
Mm-hmm.
I had two things. And then again, I didn't make a checklist, but I had two things that were a priority. And if they did not have it, and I told her from the beginning, there's two things that I'm not willing to compromise on. I had to worship the same God, and you have to be okay with my dreams and goals of what I want out of my future. So I told her, you have to be the same religion as me and have to worship the same God as me, because I already went through 10 years of not having that, and I cannot do it anymore. And two, if you are not okay with
my goals, which are for what I want to do with properties in my future, then we're not pushing in the same direction. Everything else, God is going to take care of. But those are my two requirements. And if you can't put God first and you can't be okay with my goals and dreams in life, then what are we doing? Let's not waste time.
No. I was going to say that the checklist, it will depend on what your goals and your dreams. Like, his dreams are not the same as Wen's,
right,
or the same as Bree's, mm-hmm, or mine. So what I'm trying to say is that that's when you find the perfect match, because it will fit with your stuff. Like,
right,
I fit with his stuff and he fits in mine. So it's just like, don't think that you need to be the same as us, because that's not the intention.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, for sure. I think you guys, like I said in the beginning, you two are two couples that I look up to a lot, especially these last couple of years where we've gotten close. I really see the dynamic of the couples, and you know, I want something like that in the future. So I thank you guys for your advice. I mean, obviously, this is not just for me. It's for all the youth, wherever they are and whenever, you know, they decide to get serious in life and decide to, you know, try to find that special someone. So I thank you guys for joining me today and, you know, sharing your experiences. So
thank you.
Yeah,
thank you.
I guess the last thing I'm going to say is, you know, like, comment, subscribe, whatever, you know. Make sure you share this with anyone who you feel needs to hear this. You know, if someone's going through a rough relationship and they feel like it might not be the one, and you know, they're having doubts in their relationship, this is perfect for them. So I just want to thank all you guys for listening, and obviously I want to thank my guests for listening.